When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, yes, it is a jam-packed show today on Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. It is Canty and Carlin in for Greeny today. The NBA Finals are getting underway tonight. The great Doris Burke is going to join us later in the program, and the hottest team in baseball. We will discuss that in a little bit. Mr. Canty, what up?
What's up, man? I mean, I know the NBA Finals are here, but we do have to talk about a big basketball game that we had around these parts yesterday afternoon that featured one Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Will, going up against Allen Hahn and Bart Scott.
Do we have to talk about it?
I think we have to. We're obligated.
Contractually obligated.
It's in our contracts from ESPN because it is an ESPN vehicle that we get into it.
Well, with all of that in mind, let us roll.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
The Splash Brothers spreading the floor. And so it's such a different dynamic defending the Golden State Warriors, but it's going to be a great series. It's going to be a close series. It's going to be a tightly contested series.
Their transition defense might be the best in the league. And against the Warriors, you better believe you need a good transition defense.
Game one, is it a wash for the Celtics because of the fatigue and also the awe factor of being on the road on this stage? It's new.
It all starts tonight. And Chris, look, I think this is a series that's going to be a little bit intriguing. I ultimately have the Golden State Warriors winning it. I think there's an awful lot that's very interesting about it, most especially from a matchup standpoint. You have two teams that are outstanding defensively, but one team that I believe is superior offensively, and that is ultimately the difference in this series, and that is why the Golden State Warriors are going to win in six.
That sounds good. I'm going to roll with the Golden State Warriors winning this series as well, but I think it's going to be a seven-game series. Why? Because the Boston Celtics have been money after losses. They're 14-3 since the calendar flipped over to 2022 following a loss. The last time they lost back-to-back games, Carlin, you got to go to late March at the end of the regular season. So this is a team that finds a way to respond when they don't necessarily play at their best the night before. So I look for them to have that same characteristic in this series in the NBA Finals, even though they're going up against really good competition. If you think about the gauntlet that they ran through in the Eastern Conference, sweeping the Brooklyn Nets with KD and Kyrie, taking care of that battering ram that's known as Giannis Antetokounmpo in the Milwaukee Bucks in seven, and then finishing it off winning three of the four road games against the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat. This is a team in Boston that's battle-tested and ready for this moment, even there they're going up against a dynastic squad in the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, battle-tested is an interesting phrase to me because I always think about the teams that have kind of been through it before and understanding what it's about. But when you look at what the Celtics have done this year in that whole road to get here, you can't argue with what they've accomplished based on everything you've said in going through Durant and going through Giannis and then going through the Miami Heat. They have had a tougher road to get here. Also, though, to me, the Warriors are a little bit fresher. I think that plays a role, too. A little bit fresher than the Celtics are at this point, and I think that's going to help them. They could get more reinforcements back, and we know one big number in this series, and that number is 123-0. The Golden State Warriors have 123 games of experience in the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics have zero. Yet somehow, ESPN's BPI, which has loved the Celtics, loved them, it would marry the Celtics if it could, have the Celtics as an 86% chance to win the finals. I am blown away by that number when you factor in everything else I was just talking about.
Well, we talked about this before the postseason even started, how the Celtics were the darlings when it came to BPI and the analytics, because the Celtics overwhelmingly had the best chance of any Eastern Conference playoff field team to get to the NBA Finals. And what ended up happening? The Boston Celtics were able to navigate through the Eastern Conference and get to the NBA Finals. So I'm not going to be as dismissive as some would be over the analytics and what BPI would say about how this series is going to look. But what I will say is this. I think Boston needs to be getting a little more respect as we start with this NBA Finals, just because of how good this team is defensively. And we know that they have the personnel to create some difficult matchups for the Golden State Warriors. And they do have the personnel to be able to switch the way that they like to play defense against this Golden State Warriors motion offense. So I think it's going to be a lot more closely contested than people want to give credit for. Because of the disparity with the experience, I can understand how people think this series would be one-sided. But this is a talented Boston team. They wouldn't get to this point going through the road that they did without being so.
I don't think it's as one-sided as I thought the last series was for the Celtics with the Heat. I clearly thought it was a lot more one-sided in that series, and it went seven. Was I 100% right on that? No, I thought it was going six.
Yeah.
And there were individual games I was wrong on. But having said that, I do have to look at this stat from Hembo that he gave yesterday, and it is fascinating regarding the Boston Celtics. Over their last 50 games, the Celtics are 38-12. Their scoring margin is plus 569 points. Wow. 24 double-digit wins and just 3 double-digit losses. Now, a lot of that's regular season too, so I'm not sure how much of it you're supposed to take into account, but Hembo being respectfully the stat dork that he is, playing into the BPI, I understand how they get to that number. Here's Michael Wilbon yesterday on PTI, of course, from NBA Countdown as well, but this was on PTI upon hearing about the 86% possibility of the Celtics winning the finals.
Tony, let me first start off with what I don't have. I don't have what the ESPN Basketball Index has, which is an 86% chance that the Celtics win. All right, isn't it? You know what? You know what was the dumbest forecast of the year? I know it's not really a forecast, it's a reflection of betting, but the dumbest thing was the Lakers will win the championship, followed by Brooklyn will win the championship. And all year, the Vegas casinos, the Vegas betting houses, they looked like morons. They did, because they got it so stupidly wrong. 86% chance that the Celtics will win. What? Golden State, yeah. I think, is a better team and better in the clutch. Boston was not good in clutch moments all season. And the other night, almost choked up Game 7 to Miami in Miami. I'm sitting there watching that. I'm going to say Golden State. I think it's going to be a harder series than something, obviously, than the ESPN Basketball Power Index. You know, I think it's going to be a six-game series, but I'm going to go with the Warriors to, you know, continue their run, if you will. Interrupted, but a run.
And this is why you understand that Michael Wilbon's a genius. He gets it. He understands all of this stuff. And Chris, that's the thing for me that's biggest. And this is the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. In these postseason games, when they are close games, I'm not going to talk about clutch.
Yep.
Celtics just don't look comfortable. I don't think they're comfortable in chaos. I don't think they respond well the next game. I can't argue that.
Yes.
But at the same time, in the moment, are they great to be able to gather themselves and get it done? That the other night, I'm not just going off the other night. I'm talking about throughout the entire playoffs. In these tight games that they've had, they have not struck me as a team that really looks like they have a full grasp on the situation.
Yeah, we've seen a big enough sample size. All you got to do is go back to the regular season. They were ranked 29th when it came to wins in close games, and close games being 5 minutes or less, with the score being 5 points or less. And so, yeah, I can understand how that would be a characteristic that wouldn't necessarily play well once you got to this stage in the postseason. But I also acknowledge that Boston has found a way to be able to overcome that. And you're wondering whether or not the series that they've gone through, the seven games against the Bucks, the seven games against the Heat, would that be something that allows them to build confidence as they go into this series against the Golden State Warriors? There will undoubtedly be close games in this series, Carlin. And so you're wondering, who are the guys that the Celtics can rely on to make big shots? We know Jason Tatum is that guy, but we saw in that Heat series that they double-teamed him when he went down the stretch late in the fourth quarter. They weren't going to allow Jason Tatum to beat him. Who's the other guy that can step up? Is it going to be Jaylen Brown? Is it going to be Marcus Smart? Neither one of those guys really showed up in the last 5 minutes of Game 7 against the Miami Heat. So that's the thing that I'm going to be watching for early on in this series in close games. Who's the other guy that can be a shot maker or create shots for other guys if it's not Jason Tatum? That's the big question that Boston has to answer. But I will say this. Boston has some personnel that's going to make it for a difficult matchup for the Golden State Warriors defense. Jason Tatum, if they decide they want to double him or they want to throw Wiggins at him, who's going to be the guy to cover Jaylen Brown? It can't be Klay Thompson. He's not going to be able to stay in front of him. Who's the other guy that's going to stay in front of Jaylen Brown, a bigger wing that's really athletic?
It's a great point that Klay Thompson defensively was an elite-level player for a long time.
He's not that guy anymore. He's not that guy anymore.
He's still very good, but laterally he can't move the same way.
No, he can't stay in front of Jaylen Brown. Are you kidding me? No.
No shot. He cannot. I agree with that.
Jordan Poole is too small, so where are you going to go?
I think at this point, that is one of the little question marks that the Warriors have right now that they haven't had before. It's been Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs. From quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options, Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today, in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Up next, there's so much talk of the one piece of hardware that Steph Curry needs to really elevate himself even further. But is it legit talk? We'll tell you why. Well, one of us will tell you why. It's not in just moments. Canty and Carlin for Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
It is interesting when we're talking about one of the all-time greats already, and we're spending a lot of time talking about what he doesn't have and what difference it's going to make for him. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio in for Greeny today. We are also on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker. Steph Curry is back in the finals, and it's obviously incredibly important for him to get this opportunity once again. Here he is in an interview with the ESPN radio crew. You can hear the full interview later tonight on the pregame, the NBA on ESPN radio. Here he is just describing it about why getting back meant so much to him.
To do it, you know, after this last 2 years that we've had, battling through a lot of injuries, change on the roster, and, you know, implementing a lot of young guys this year, it's definitely a sense of pride that we could, you know, get back here and have a chance to win four more games and hopefully another championship.
You know, I look at his entire resume. I already think he's a top 10 player.
Yep.
Not by much, but he's a top 10 player.
Okay.
And yet, over the last month, There has been so much discussion in the media, among us as well, about how important a finals MVP would be to enhance his legacy. And Chris, I got to tell you, just looking at it the last couple of days, I just don't understand what that one little moniker is going to do for somebody that has always been brilliant in the finals. You could make the case that he should have won a finals MVP already and has accomplished everything that Steph Curry has. It feels like a blip on the radar for me.
Well, Carlin, we already know that he's an all-time great, right? He's on the top 75 team and unanimously recognized as the best shooter the game has ever seen. But when you start talking about the top 10 players to have ever played the game, you're splitting hairs when it comes to guys that are that accomplished. And the finals MVP is that one thing that people can point to and say, this is what keeps you out of that club. Now, when I look at my top 10, pretty much every single guy on my top 10 has a finals MVP with the exception of Dr. J, but we know the prime years of Dr. J were spent in the ABA with the Squires and not with the Sixers. And so I don't know that I can put Steph Curry in that group without having one if he has four championships, and that's assuming that he wins this one, and you're talking about his team going to six finals over the course of 8 years. At some point, it's like, why can't you perform and be the best player on your team that wins the championship in this moment? Why
can't
you do it?
He has been already, just because he hasn't won the – I mean, he should have won the MVP when Iguodala won the MVP.
Well, but he didn't, Carlin. He didn't win the MVP. Everybody wanted – they voted Iguodala as the MVP because of the job that he did on LeBron James, yep. But also Iguodala making some big shots in that series,
yep,
as well.
Absolutely.
And so I want to see Steph Curry – be at his best when his best is required. Competitive greatness matters.
But there's
Carlin, here's what I'll say. There's a saying in the locker room, any professional locker room, any sport. You make your money in the regular season, you make your legacy in the postseason. And if you are that dude, if you are an MVP player, why can't you be an MVP in the NBA Finals? That's what we're looking for from Steph Curry. When we run down the list of guys that are in the top 10, Carlin, I mean, you're not just going to pull one of those guys out and put Steph Curry in just off of another ring.
But
it has to be about him being able to add that Finals MVP
to
his resume.
But Chris, do you ever look at Steph Curry and say he's played poorly in the Finals?
No, I'm not going to say he's played poorly, but what I would say is
Was he the reason that his team didn't win? I mean, would they have won their three championships without him? No, but I
don't think that goes without saying, Carlin. What I'm simply saying is this. If you are as good as a lot of people believe you to be, if you're a top 10 player of all time, we need you to be the best player on the court in that series. That's what people are looking for consistently from Steph Curry, and they want to see his team finish the drill and be on the winning side of it. Listen, for my money, Steph Curry is already an all-time great, and I've got him as one of the top 12 players to have ever played the game. But in order to crack that top 10, my top 10 that consists of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Dr. J, and Shaquille O'Neal, in order to crack into that list and kick one of those guys out, I'm going to need for him to have a finals MVP on that resume.
See, I just think it's arbitrary at this point.
But it's not, though.
But it's not. When I have a few stats that just really illuminate what Steph Curry is, there are four players that have ever averaged 25-5-5 in the NBA Finals. Forever. It's Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, and Jerry West. And, by the way, the fifth is Steph Curry. The fifth, with Kobe, LeBron, Jerry West, and Jordan?
That's a great group to be a part of.
Exactly.
That's a great group to be a part of.
So because he hasn't won a finals MVP when you could argue he should have already, and then Durant was great in those other two, I can't argue with that. It's hard for me to sit here and really get on a guy for not winning a finals MVP when there are only four players ever who have won multiple MVPs, multiple titles, and multiple scoring titles. These are the things that Steph has already accomplished. And to me, it's more than enough right now when he hasn't won this arbitrary award in some ways.
But it's not an arbitrary award, though. There's a reason why they give out finals MVP. There's a reason why they give out that trophy, because this is the biggest stage that the game has to offer, and they want to reward greatness. They want to reward excellence. Once you get to this point in the season, they want to highlight the guy that they believe is the difference in his team winning a championship. That's what it is.
But does Steph Curry become a better all-time great tomorrow if he wins an NBA Finals MVP?
Listen, Carlin, we're talking about the top 10 to 12 greatest players of all time. So, I mean, Steph Curry is already in that group. But if we're talking about him ascending in terms of the rank, then, yeah, you're going to have something that separates you. Another championship helps. Sure, it does. I'm not going to debate that. But I think the finals MVP would be the cherry on the top. And let me say this. It would take an epic collapse for Steph Curry not to win finals MVP this time around.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Just because everybody is talking about it.
If Steph Curry shows up in the arena and the Warriors
win. If it's even close with him and another player on his team and the Golden State Warriors win it, then Steph Curry is going to get the nod just because everybody has been talking about it. Now, if Steph Curry doesn't get finals MVP and his team wins, or he loses in the NBA finals and Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart gets finals MVP, I got to ask you this. Does his legacy take a hit? Does his legacy take a hit?
I'm not ready to say it takes a hit yet because the guy's been so good in all of the finals that he's played in, and they're in it for the sixth time in 8 years. And really, if we're going to take out the 2 years because of all the injuries and such, I mean, it's virtually six straight years. It's basically what Jordan did. Just in terms of getting to the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying he's Jordan by any stretch.
Yeah, no. But with the two-year hiatus, yes. Jordan was because of baseball. Yep. With these guys, it was because of injuries. Yeah, there are a lot of parallels between the 90s Bulls and the 2010s Golden State Warriors. And so I'm with you on that front. But yeah, I think it matters in terms of the narrative around Steph Curry's career. And I don't think folks are all that off base for putting so much emphasis on him getting finals MVP. Just because when we start talking about the rarest of rare air, the best players to have ever lived, that's what it's going to take to separate himself, to differentiate himself from some of those guys in the top 10.
One last one on this. What separates him and puts him in that top 10 is he is one of those players that we can say, honestly, changed the game.
Sure.
And he's also one of those players that we look at and say he is the best ever at something, and that is shooting the basketball.
Yeah, there are dominant traits there, no question about it, but you could also point
But those are rarefied air traits.
No, they're rarefied air traits, but you could also point to some of the deficiencies in Steph Curry's game and say, yeah, most of the guys in the top 10 don't have that. Most of the guys in the top 10 aren't defensive liabilities.
It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free so you can drive with peace of mind. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Then there's the flip side. Jason Tatum is such an interesting case study when you consider what he has done at this young age. Here's Tatum, courtesy of the NBA on ESPN Radio. You can hear this interview in its entirety later on tonight during all the coverage of the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. Here is Tatum on getting to the finals.
Making it to the finals is a big accomplishment, something that we should be proud of, and we're super excited for the challenge. Obviously, you know, the ultimate goal is to win a championship, so we still got a long task ahead.
Jason Tatum, if he were to win a championship right now, if you honestly consider the road and the superstars that he will have gone through between Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, yes, mitigating circumstances, we understand that. And then Giannis, and then the Miami Heat, and then to beat Steph Curry and the Warriors and the big three there, that might be one of the greatest roads traveled of all time to ever win a title, and it makes him immediately surpass Paul Pierce on the Boston Celtic hierarchy of all-time greats.
Yeah, to me, that's not even a question, Carlin. And the fact that Jason Tatum is doing it with this cast of characters versus what Paul Pierce had with two other top 75 players flanking him, I think that makes a difference. You're talking about him going through the second best player in the world in Kevin Durant with Kyrie Irving and sweeping the Brooklyn Nets in round one. You're talking about him beating the best player in the world in Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, the reigning defending champs in round two, and beating the number one team in the Eastern Conference in the Miami Heat that are coached by Eric Spoelstra and put together by Pat Riley. Yeah, I would say this is a tremendous run, not to mention beating a dynastically great team in the Golden State Warriors. I've said this before, and I'll say this again. If Jason Tatum finds a way to get this done in the NBA Finals and win a championship at the age of 24, we're talking about him wearing the belt as the greatest player in the NBA today. Period. That's where I'm willing to go.
You're putting him in front of Giannis?
I'm putting him in front of Giannis. Wow. He went through Giannis. I have to. I have no choice.
I understand, but Giannis is an incredibly dominant player.
Giannis is great, but think about this.
And he's already got his
title. Giannis didn't have this kind of run last year. It wasn't.
It's not the same level of run, but I can't put him ahead of Giannis as a player overall. Because I think that's...
You can say that, but the road that Tatum has gone through and the teams that he would have beaten...
It will have been tougher.
There's no question about it. You're talking about him beating all-time greats. Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are two top 12 players in NBA history, and he would have beaten both of them. Boy, there's no question about it.
We just put him in Club Superstar.
Yes.
We just put him in the top five, and a title now is going to put him as the best player in the world right now?
Well, yeah, I mean he was voted all NBA. So, by definition, he's one of the top five players in the world.
He is one of the top five players in the world.
But when you give him that nod, when you give him that hardware, that enhances the legacy. And when you do it against a team like the Golden State Warriors, let's be clear. Giannis won his championship against the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns last year ate the Golden State Warriors this year.
But let's also be clear.
That's a completely different animal.
Let's also be clear that there were games here that Jason Tatum was awful, and there are not games where that has happened with Giannis really in the postseason.
Yeah, Jason Tatum has one game a series where he's bad.
Yeah.
He has one game a series where he's bad.
And he has one game a series where he is over-the-top superstar.
Phenomenal.
Amazing.
Phenomenal, yeah.
But the in-between, I'll take the Giannis resume on that, because a Giannis bad game is still bordering on, it's still getting you a double-double and not that far off from a triple-double.
Yeah, and that's all well and good, but I think Tatum's ability to be able to close games, I think that's something that's special. That's ability that Giannis just doesn't have, just because Giannis is not a prolific shooter. There aren't a whole lot of holes when it comes to Jason Tatum's game offensively. He's not as good as Giannis defensively, but he is a good defender. So, yeah, I would consider Jason Tatum as the best player in the world if he were able to win this NBA Finals and get Finals MVP.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your opportunity to weigh in here on the necessity for Steph to win an NBA Finals MVP, and what would a title actually do for Jason Tatum in regards to his standing in the game today. Doug and Dayton up first on ESPN Radio on Greeny. Doug, what's going on, bud? How are you?
I'm doing all right. How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm going to tell you, Steph is a person that has changed the game, but he shouldn't be in the top 10. If you look at his finals, he really don't play good. Now,
he doesn't play
statistically,
well.
Statistically, you'll say, well, he averages 25 or 26 points. But I'd like to ask you, if you are 7 for 25 from the field and 3 for 11 from the three-point line, is that a good game?
No, that's not a great game.
Them are the type of games that Steph, if you probably can have somebody look it up. Them are the type of games that he's always played in these finals. His field goal percentage is way lower than it is during the season. His three-point percentage is way lower than it is in the season. His free throw percentage is slightly lower. And that's why he hasn't got the MVP. He gets stopped a lot. And top 10 players don't get stopped. They have bad games because everybody has bad games. But if you just pull up all his stats in all those finals, everything goes down. Don't nothing go up. And you know, stats are misleading.
Is it misleading when a guy is one of five players ever and the other four are LeBron, Jordan, Jerry West, and Kobe Bryant to average 25, 5, and 5 in the finals? Is that misleading?
No, but stats are misleading.
Okay, but that one's not.
Okay, well, let me ask
See,
you,
you just told me that one numbers, is not misleading. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, but that's an arbitrary stat, though. 25, 5, and 5. Do we really need the five but rebounds that, and five assists? Do we need that?
Okay.
Do we need that?
On top of it, though, in the finals, to have those kind of numbers, it's not. I wouldn't throw that out for just the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would throw that out when it comes to the NBA Finals, because it is the ultimate deciding of winning a championship. So for me, that's when the most pressure of all is going to be on you.
No, I'm with you, but there are those performances like that last caller talked about with Steph in his first NBA Finals having a 5-for-23 performance, and the next NBA Finals having a 4-for-15 performance, in the finals that they had in 2018 having a 1-for-10 performance from the field. Like, those are the games that you hold on to and you say, well, if you are that dude, if you're a unanimous MVP, if you're the greatest shooter of all time, you've got to come up with better performances than that. That's unacceptable.
I understand. But I think when you look at the picture as a whole, it does not change what Steph is, or to me, all of a sudden, we're going from 12th to 10th because of an NBA Finals MVP. Not when he could have won it already. It doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't
he didn't win it already, and the other guys that are in that top 10 have. So I don't understand it. Like, I get where you're coming from, and I understand adding a fourth championship should mean more than in a Finals MVP. I don't disagree with you on that standpoint, but I'm just saying when you're splitting hairs with some of the greatest players of all time, that's the difference.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Jay Will is making it happen.
Jay with a long jumper to
and
make now it 9-3.
9-3, KJM crew over Barton Hahn. Jay Williams. Will playing with his food.
Buries it.
Ball game.
And that'll do it. That is it.
I think today was a huge win because the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Jimmy V Foundation getting huge wins as well.
You could argue that our collective sense of sight was the big loser yesterday. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So we did call the 2-on-2 yesterday between Barton Hahn and, of course, Jay Will and Keyshawn. And I think I'm very comfortable in saying that we were the best part of the whole event because really, in terms of actual entertainment on the court, if you were looking for great play, this was not where you were going to stop to see it. It was not good in terms of the quality of play.
Well, I'll say this. Jay Will did look
good. Oh, Jay Will was fine.
And Bart Scott was a pleasant surprise on the basketball court. He knocked down a jumper. I mean, he slipped a pick that he was setting for Allen Hahn and got an easy layup.
And it was a nice feed from Hahn. I'll give Hahn that.
It was a good feed. That was about the only thing you could give Hahn that was a positive from yesterday.
I'll tell you.
But here's the thing. You're saying that we were the big positive in yesterday's production. We could have been better.
We could have been better.
And you know how we could have been better? Because you could have been a better teammate and let me know that my collar was doing this butterfly thing and that I could have tucked it into my sport coat and made it look more professional. And the fact that you didn't say anything in real time and I had to find out about it in the pictures that we took after the event and the video that was edited and put together and put out this morning, I'm a little bit disappointed in you.
See,
I thought you were a better teammate than that. I knew you were a bad guy, but I thought you were a better teammate.
I am a good teammate.
No, but you're not.
I didn't see it.
A good teammate wouldn't let something like that happen.
I did not see it. Well, it was on the other side of your giant head.
I don't know how you couldn't see it. I'm 6'8", 340 pounds. How could you miss me?
Because
I'm standing right next to you.
The collar that had popped out was on the other side, opposite of the side that I was on.
No, you know what the problem is? You're so focused on you, you don't think about anybody else. It's all about Carlin and his big, shiny, bald head. It's not about anybody else. It's just about you.
Again,
I knew you were a bad guy. I didn't think you were a bad teammate. I've lauded you for being a good teammate since we've been doing this show together.
But
yesterday was a moment where I felt like you were a bad teammate, and I'm disappointed in you. I'm hurt.
I get it.
If it sounds like I'm angry, it's coming from a place of hurt.
I get it. I told you before, I'm going to get mine. That's what it is.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. Should I be as angry at you as Bart Scott should be at Alan Hahn? Probably not.
No, you should not.
Bart Scott should feel like Alan Hahn didn't uphold his end of the bargain.
Let's call this what it is, okay? Before the game yesterday, you and I are having a private moment watching Hahn warm up.
Yeah.
And he's very intense. He's very locked in. And he could tell you he wasn't. Hahn wanted that one in the worst way yesterday. And, Chris, what did I say to you right before that game started about Alan Hahn and what could happen?
If he misses the first couple of shots, he's going to be in his own head. He's going to go in the tank.
And
you said that.
The exact quote was, if he misses the first one, he's done.
That's it. And what did I tell you after the game?
Yes.
After KJM ran away with it 11-3.
Hahn was standing around and you said, look, he's got a little bit of a fake smile.
Little bit of a fake smile. It was a fake smile. And then he was standing by himself, moping a little bit. He was so disappointed in himself. And I told you, he going to cry in the car on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
He going to cry in the car.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how bad it was. Like, he had the eye of the tiger in the pregame warm-up. He's dunking the basketball thinking he's got it going on, only to be disappointed by his performance. And here's the crazy thing. It wasn't like Jay Will was guarding Alan Hahn.
No, let's talk about this for a second.
It was a washed-up Keyshawn Johnson with a copper-fit knee brace on.
Yeah.
There's no way that you don't give Keyshawn Johnson the business when he's guarding you, especially in the paint. Alan Hahn is 6'6". How could you not beat up on Keyshawn Johnson in a low post? It didn't make any sense. He missed three shots in the paint, and he missed a free throw.
The biggest disappointment.
A disappointing effort for Alan Hahn.
Well, but also the biggest disappointment, though, I think overall, had to be the performance of Keyshawn. Because I have to tell you, he's out there looking like Na Morant, okay? He had absolutely nothing going on. I am very comfortable in saying I feel like our conditioning between myself and Keyshawn, it was on the same par yesterday.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Carlin.
He was breathing heavy after one possession.
Well, Carlin, the pier is where you go to see things that are washed up. And that was Keyshawn Johnson yesterday. There's no question about it.
My favorite moment was when Jay got a rebound and is waving at Keyshawn to cut to the basket. There's nothing in front of him. Keeps waving 2-3 times, and Key's like, I'm good.
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson yesterday, he reminded me of James the Grim Reaper Roper from The Great White Hype. When he was washed up. Yeah, that man's been eating chitlins. That's how Keyshawn Johnson looked yesterday.
Right before,
I love Keyshawn, but it was bad yesterday.
I mean, that's why I don't understand why Bart wasn't. They should have been up on Jay and let Keyshawn force him. Why was their strategy allow Jay to do whatever he wants?
It's a great point,
Bubba.
I mean, Bubba.
Granted, I understand Jay will still probably do whatever he wants, but at least put in some effort on Jay and make Keyshawn do anything, because he was not going to do anything.
No.
Make Keyshawn shoot.
It's a great point.
Bubba, what
point
I would have done if I was putting together the strategy for Bart and Hahn, we're going to double team Jay Will.
Exactly.
And we'll rally to Keyshawn.
Yeah, once Keyshawn gets it, then go after him.
Yeah, we'll rotate to Keyshawn. We're going to double Jay Will. And I know it's 2-on-2, so what? Who cares? We're going to rally to Keyshawn Johnson.
I mean, how did Bart just let Jay hit those two game with the game
That was
winner?
The strategy. Bart actually told me in the post game, our strategy was to let Jay shoot. To which the natural follow-up was,
he was in the NBA!
Perhaps that was exactly a flawed strategy on your part. Oh, horrible, horrible performance yesterday.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.